Let's Talk Pets.
Let's Talk Pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
You've had a long day at work, and you can't wait to just get home, take off your shoes, plop yourself down in your favorite chair, and relax. You walk up to your tranquil residential home and your neatly manicured lawn in your quiet suburban neighborhood, put the key in the lock, open the door, and...
yes, the pets have gone wild! What were you thinking? Welcome to the show about everything you always wanted to know about exotic pets. Where to get them, what to feed them, and how to care for them. You'll even find out why some people live with a monkey. Now, here's your host, exotic pet expert and author, Bob Tart. Hey, Bob, what were you thinking?
Hi, I'm Bob Tart, author of the books Enslaved by Ducks and Follow Weather, and this is a very special, not a pet show episode of What Were You Thinking? Oh no, I can hear you saying, what could it be? It can't be another birding show already, but that's what it is. Even though just two shows ago I did a birding show, we're doing one again, but think of this as a bonus show. Because next week I am hoping to interview a pet sitter on the continent of Australia. This will be the first international episode of What Were You Thinking? So
that's going to be a lot more interesting than this show.
It is, and that's book character Bill Holm that you're hearing. About it.
Thank you, Rob. I didn't think you were going to let me talk throughout the entire podcast.
That was my hope, but since you've already spoiled that hope... I think it was precisely 1 year ago today, give or take a few days, weeks, or months, book character Bill Holm and I did the Quest for Crossbill show. This was about our trip to Chelsea, Michigan to see the white-winged crossbill. You remember that show, Bill?
I do remember the show. That was probably about what this show is going to be like.
Yeah, well, I'll be thrilled if it'll rise to... the level of that show. But what's interesting about the Quest for Crossbill show is that my producer actually said he liked it.
He did?
Yeah, he did. So
did he say specifically why he liked it?
No,
Or was he just kidding?
Oh, I hadn't thought of that. I'll have to look back at his email to see if there's any emoticons. I didn't notice that. But here we are today. This is January 19th.
I don't know.
2010, and we are at Muskegon Wastewater System, and we are looking for birds. And Bill, you and I did... My phone is ringing. Just a minute. That was... If you heard the phone, that was Linda calling to say that the reason that there was an unusual smell in the house this morning was because it was our propane furnace coming on rather than our geothermal heat pump because the furnace filter was completely blocked and we need a new furnace filter.
How long has it been since you replaced that filter?
So a year ago today, we did the Quest for Crossbill show. And we're at Muskegon Wastewater, and we're going to... Muskegon Wastewater, I'm going to read you a brief description of it in A Birder's Guide to Michigan by Alan T. Chartier and Jerry Ziarno. It says, the huge Muskegon County Wastewater Management System, referred to by birders as the Muskegon Wastewater System, includes 11,000 acres of aeration, settling and spraying areas, and is one of the best birding areas in the state. And that'd be the state of Michigan. As with any wastewater treatment area, the olfactory sense is assaulted immediately upon arrival.
I'll say.
And here I thought that was Bill.
That was the smell you brought from your house.
So, in Michigan, I think I already said that that's a good birding place. So there's some.
That's why we're here.
That's why we're here. And also because what's historic is that there's a chapter in my book, Foul Weather, called Muskegon Wastewater. And it's about a trip to Muskegon Wastewater by book character Bill Holm and me.
Isn't that something?
Kind of makes your head spin.
Wow. What is reality or what is art?
So when.
Perhaps art creates reality.
Yes. When Bill and I went to Chelsea last year, a new piece of technology we were testing was the my new GPS system to try and give us to my friend Dave's yard where we could see the crossbills. And what is this huge bird coming
at us?
That
is an absolutely huge bird.
I'm going to pause a minute. We're seeing our first bird, a tundra swan. Holy cow.
Wow. That was beautiful.
Yeah, I think it was a tundra swan.
It was white.
It was a white swan. That thing was, that was one big bird.
It just came out of nowhere.
Yeah, it flew.
Well, it flew out of nowhere.
It did. So,
it flew with, like, within, like, 30 feet.
It did. And that's the kind of things you see at Muskegon Wastewater Treatment System.
That's why we're here.
Yes. So
we've been rewarded already.
We have. So what we're going to do, I don't see how we're going to make this into a whole show.
How long are these normally?
15 minutes. We can't even, no, they're a half hour.
A half hour?
Yeah.
So should we pick it up later, maybe?
Yeah.
Or so, is this going to be part of your next show, perhaps at the end?
No, well, what we're going to do now, Bill and I just turned into Muskegon Wastewater and into idiots. And, oh, what I was saying is this time, I just remember my train of thought before Linda phoned about the furnace filter. And that was that on our last trip to Chelsea, we tried out my GPS system, Gypsy, which is not the brand name. It's my pet name. Ooh. And this time I'm trying a new piece of technology, and it's my have my iPod Touch with me that Linda gave me for Christmas, and there's some birding software in it called iBird Pro. It's a complete field guide in an iPod app.
That's incredible.
It's incredible. And so I'm going to see if that's any kind of replacement. Bill has a traditional field guide.
Printed.
I have one too. But
what is wrong with a book? You can hold it. You can turn the page. You can look at it.
It's these darn kids today.
I don't understand it at all.
I don't understand it either. So, and also, Bill had a GPS. He has mm-hmm. a new one. Mm-hmm. And that guided us here. And I've noticed some personality differences between his GPS and mine. How would you describe yours?
Mine is a Haridon.
Yes. It really,
especially if you get off the course that it wants you to take.
Yeah, Gypsy generally gives me a 2-mile notice before I have to turn. But Deneen only gives Bill a 1-mile
notice. The name is not Deneen.
It gives Bill a 1-mile notice, and then she's quite angry if we don't turn bleft or drite right when she tells us to.
Turn drite!
Yeah.
She says.
Yeah, and here's a couple of other really huge birds.
Are they the same thing?
I think so.
Should we get our binoculars?
Yeah, let's do that since we're birding.
What happened to my? Oh, they're in the pen.
Oh, well, that was exciting. We just saw. Was that 2 or 3? I have trouble.
That was 2.
I have trouble telling 2 from 3. I'm never going to be a good bird counter. We just saw 2 more tundra swans fly over, and we're only just at the entrance of Muskegon Wastewater. And if I'm not mistaken, isn't that a hawk up on that phone line over
there?
Yeah,
it is.
Okay, we're going to lift the binoculars and see what that is. I hope this is interesting you. See, I'm hoping for a red shoulder hawk. I haven't seen a red shoulder hawk before. And somebody on the birding group said this is the year of the red shoulder hawk. Any comments on that, Bill?
I think that's a lie. Not that I don't know if I should start going after the birders.
Well, what we're going to do is we're going to try and pick up the pace a little bit.
So, well, it's hard to talk. It's hard to think and look at a beautiful bird like this at the same time.
It's hard to even just sit in a car and have my heart beating and breathe and talk at the same time. So what I'm going to do next is we're going to go to the administration building at Muskegon Wastewater, and I have to get my permit because you need a permit. You can't just drive into Muskegon Wastewater. You have to have a permit.
What are we going to do? We're going to get a permit?
I'm going to get a permit. I have to get a permit for the next year in case I want to come
do
here
Do I have
again.
To get a permit?
You probably need a day permit. So we're going to do that.
I don't like to have my name on anything.
And we're not going to make you come in and do that, especially since if I bring a recording device into a government building, I'm probably in big trouble. So we'll be back.
Maybe.
Yeah, with this exciting
our next
show.
Podcast might be from Gitmo.
Okay, bye-bye.
What Were You Thinking? We'll be right back after Bob gets the ducks out of his living room. Don't go away.
It's time for school for you and your friends, your furry best friends. Train your dog the fun and easy way with Teacher's Pet Sessions. Teacher's Pet host Pia Silvani teaches you step-by-step how to train your dog the fun and easy way. You get 8 30-minute live audio training sessions, complete transcripts of each session, plus a basic training manual to get you and your dog off to a great start. Training begins the moment you bring your dog home. Teacher's Pet Sessions offers positive reinforcement training to shape your dog's behavior and encourages upbeat, enthusiastic responses to ensure that your dog will enjoy learning. Teacher's Pet Sessions dog training is fun at both ends of the leash. So listen, learn, and laugh with your dog with Teacher's Pet Sessions. Get your copy of Teacher's Pet Sessions Volume 1 today. To order, go to teacherspetsessions.com.
Hi, this is Pia Silvani, your host. Bring your dog, tug toy, and treats, and get ready to have some fun.
teacherspetsessions.com.
This valuable information comes from your pet. There's nothing like a wagging tail or friendly paw to lift your mood. They're therapeutic and make us feel good. Studies show pets even reduce stress, prevent heart disease, lower blood pressure, and fight depression. So there you have it. Pets are a daily dose of good health and happiness. Pets add life. To learn more, visit petsaddlife.org.
Hello! I'm Deborah Wolf, and I'm inviting you to my animal party on Pet Life Radio. The dress code? Come as you are. Pajamas, a tux, you can even go naked like your pets. Unleash your party animal at my animal party. Guests you know from Animal Planet, TV, radio, the news, and bookstores will be joining me. And that's because after I won Best Pet Radio in America from the DWAA, I got my paw in the door and I met a lot of amazing people. And the best of the best are going to be coming to the party. They're coming to party with us. So join us at the animal party. Don't miss the party.
Every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com. Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com. Okay, ducks are in the pond, rabbits in his hutch, and monkeys...
Oh, in my car!
Oh, okay, well, I go check my insurance policy. We'll turn you back over to Bob.
Hey, so I just got my permit renewed, and we're here in the pond system, I guess you call it, the treatment ponds. Bill, would you like to describe what we're seeing?
Well, these are secondary treatment ponds, I believe. Maybe tertiary treatment that goes on here, where the little microbes do the sort of the one of the final cleansings of the wastewater, the huge amount of wastewater that comes in here. And today, as we look out over these vast ponds, they are frozen solid. And it really, correct me if I'm wrong, Bob, but... these aren't the best bird watching conditions, are they?
I don't
especially
think,
for water birds.
No, I don't think we're going to be seeing a lot of ducks today. I did see somebody so desperate for flowing water that I saw a gentleman stop his car by a stream. There was clearly nothing there. And he got out of his car, and I couldn't see anything. My guess was that maybe he saw winter wren. So... And if you're a birder, you're going to be slapping your thighs right now at that
one. That is one of the funniest jokes I've heard all day.
So, and I see some people looking rather despondent, walking down. These are large cement ponds, like Ellie Mae Clampett would have loved to have had in her backyard. But one of them is about 3 square miles. This one on our left.
Is it really 3 square miles?
Yeah,
well, this one must be 2.
And I wanted to go down the center dike road. But it looks like they've plowed some snow to create a barrier so we can't go down there. So
and perhaps slide off into one of the ponds.
Yeah, so it may be we can't go anywhere. We may.
Yes, there are berms. There are berms between these giant ponds that you can drive on normally.
Oh, there's some flowing water over there.
Yeah, that's where the bubbler stage goes.
And that might have been...
That's a more final...
Hump. That might have been what assaulted my olfactory sense when I got here. So we're going to... So anyway, we got our permit, And
we are here legally.
I was actually treated pretty well. I got my permit, but she didn't seem to want to give Bill one, did she?
No, she did not. That concerns me a little bit.
Yeah.
I feel like I might be being set up.
Yeah, Bill was just brushed off. Well, that's because she probably heard, as a government official, that you're going to Cuba soon.
I am not at liberty to discuss that at this time.
Okay.
I am not neither confirming nor denying that I am going to any foreign country.
Okay, so now we're going to set off...
At the end of February into early March.
Across the one of these berm roads and...
On a humanitarian mission
for...
That will probably make me look pretty good.
So we're going to turn right, or right, and then left, and we're going to see if we can find any birds here.
Okay.
And we'll let you know. There's always the landfill down there. We might see some gulls. I still want to see me that glaucus gull.
Glaucus gull.
Yeah. Okay. So here we go. Well, we've been here how long, Bill? Muskegon Wastewater.
No, we've been here a good 7 minutes.
Seven minutes, and I think we're going to call it a day.
We've crammed a lot of bird watching into a short period of time.
Mm-hmm. Now, if I were a real birder, I would drive back by the landfill and spend hours looking at gulls, trying to find the because there's just. Thousands, wouldn't you say thousands of gulls over that
land? Literally.
Literally thousands. Not figuratively, but literally. And I would go there looking for a glaucus gull or an Icelandic dull gull, the dull gull. If I were a gull, I'd be the dull
gull. Got a couple of those right here.
But I think we're going to head for the Muskegon Channel, whatever that might be.
I don't know if we're going to get there.
I don't know. I don't know how you tune in the Muskegon Channel, but we're going there and we're going to be looking for some...
What exactly are we looking for?
We're looking for a western grebe.
Fat chance.
A white-winged scoter. And who knows what else. But I have to say it's a beautiful day here until you've experienced the wastewater, Muskegon wastewater in blinding sunshine. I'd say you don't know what beauty is. And without getting too personal, we found a porta potty here, which I just made use of. And I was telling Bill that this is probably the one porta potty in the country that never needs to be emptied, since it's at Muskegon Wastewater. Ha ha. So,
yeah, it took me a second to get it too.
Okay, so Bill, you're gonna.
But once I did, I laughed.
So Bill's gonna program Deneen.
It is not named Deneen.
To take us to the channel. And we will continue this exciting birding experience because I haven't really put iBird Pro to the test yet. I've looked up two birds. And, you know, it's not enough to really say if it works or not. So I'm going to jump out of the car for a second in case we ever put this podcast up on the site. I should have a couple pictures of the splendor that is Muskegon Wastewater.
Hi, this is Bob back in the studio. Well, actually... back in the upstairs bedroom staring out the window. But at any rate, don't go away. There is actually an interesting conclusion to Bob and Bill's quest for birds. So we're going to take a break for a brief word from our sponsor and then more of the winter birding expedition.
What Were You Thinking? We'll be right back after Bob gets the ducks out of his living room. Don't go away.
Greetings, human. What planet am I on?
Welcome to Pet Planet. Here's a copy of Pet Planet Magazine, Florida's most informative and fun pet resource magazine. It features heartwarming stories and informative articles from local and national pet experts.
Excellent.
Pet Planet Magazine offers Operation Planet Rescue, helping rescued pets find new homes. And it's available at 500 locations in South and Central Florida and 24/7 on the internet at PetPlanetMagazine.com. If you're out and about with your pet, you may be featured in Paparazzi, candid pictures of you and your pet. For up-to-date pet-friendly events, activities, and pet-related services and products, Pet Planet Magazine is your final destination.
I shall take this magazine home with me.
Back to your home planet?
No. To my condo in Boca.
Pet Planet Magazine. Check them out at www.petplanetmagazine.com or 352-394-8578. It's out of this world.
Aquariums and pond keeping are among the most popular of all hobbies in the United States and throughout the world. In fact, fish are probably the most numerous pet in people's homes and in their businesses. In Aquarium Mania, we'll learn more about the secret and not-so-secret life of fish and other inhabitants, the basics of good aquarium keeping, the complexities of the aquarium industry, and the science and art that surround this fascinating hobby. I'm your host, Roy Anong, and I'd like to thank you for joining us. Aquarium Mania.
Every week, on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Okay, ducks are in the pond, rabbits in his hutch, and monkeys...
Oh, in my car!
Oh, okay, all right. Go check my insurance policy. We'll turn you back over to Bob.
Hi, this is Bob Tart, welcoming you back to What Were You Thinking? And let's get back to Bob and Bill on the road looking for winter birds.
Turn right.
What was that again?
I think she'll tell you again. She'll tell you, and she'll tell you, and she'll tell you. Until you just can't take it anymore. Maybe I'm not being fair.
Okay, so we are on the corner of
Apple
and South Maple Island, and we are headed for the Muskegon Channel. Is that what it's called?
It's a state park. It has a pier, probably, with a lighthouse.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And so I believe we're supposed to turn here, but I'm not sure.
I don't know. Yeah. The one time you wanted to talk,
she doesn't talk. So, Bill, what was the point you were going to make?
Continued 6.8 miles.
Okay.
Well, in retrospect, we may not have thought this trip through very well. I mean, it's 28 degrees. We're going to a place that its main attraction is water birds. Not icebergs. And you'd think that we'd put two and two together and think that, well, these ponds are contained. When it's cold, been cold like this for weeks, it's likely they're frozen and there will not be one single bird there.
So where are we going? We're headed for more water now.
That's right.
But I believe this is flowing water.
It's open water. There should be no problem in spotting those scoters and...
grebes.
The western grebe.
And I'm hoping somebody saw a few days ago, I've never seen a long-tailed duck before. They saw not one long-tailed duck, not two long-tailed ducks.
How many long-tailed ducks?
They didn't even see 10 long-tailed ducks. You know how many they reported? 5,400.
Who reported this?
one of the birders.
One of the birders.
You can report it.
This is a typical birder. Let's do 5,500.
Okay, we'll look for those too. So,
yeah.
Okay, so that's where we're headed right now.
Well, Bob, this looks like the end of the road.
It is the end of the road. We have arrived at Muskegon State Park after some little problems with the GPS.
The GPS took us in a big circle and then laughed.
But we did drive past the Bayer Crop Science facility. That's B-A-Y-E-R, the Bayer Crop Science Facility. And I made a good remark.
Yeah, what was it, Bob?
Sprinkle some on your crops and call me in the morning. Anyway, here we are.
I declared it at the time the best joke of the day.
It is. It was. But maybe there's a better joke and it's on us.
Oh, excellent.
Because we are trying to get to the break wall. So we can get to the channel to see all these scoters and 5,400 long-tailed ducks. Mm. But what's happened here, Bill?
Well, we're right on Lake Michigan. I mean, and we're on Scenic Drive, and there's this one narrow road that goes out to the breakwater. We can probably go out there in normal weather and walk. But the closer we got, the worse the driving got, and now we can't go any further.
No.
And so we're stuck. This is the end of it. We haven't seen one bird except a swan.
Right.
And
I saw a crow.
A crow.
And I saw a guy looking for a winter wren. Does that count?
Right. Today it does. This is the worst day of bird watching anyone has ever had.
It just about is.
Because everywhere we went, well, one place was frozen. This road is snowed over, so we can't go anywhere. It is the middle of winter.
Mm-hmm.
You'd thought we might have learned our lesson.
Well, it's a state park. I thought they might plow it.
Not in Michigan.
Yeah.
There are no more plows.
There's no money.
They sold them for scrap.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep. And it that money is going to ex-Governor Engler's retirement fund.
It is. Going directly into
mm-hmm.
it. So I guess this is a short podcast today, except that maybe we'll learn a lesson from it.
And what's the lesson?
Well, I guess the listeners will learn a lesson.
Never again.
Never again listen to one of them. All right, well, if anything else happens, we'll check back. Well, we are on the road again, trying for another access to see the birds, because we are living proof that cheaters never prosper, quitters never quit, and fools never learn. So what happened was we were looking for a place to eat, and Bill decided to ask his GPS, Deneen.
It's not Deneen.
Where there was a buffet in the area. And so he called up the little keyboard and typed in U.S. so that he could search the entire United States of America for a buffet. Well, what happened was, when he typed in U.S., a match came up, and what did it say, Bill?
It said USS Silversides.
And it just so happens that when I was looking on the Muskegon Nature Center website yesterday, the Scoter and Grebe was seen close to the USS Silversides.
So 2.8 miles, turn right.
So we might not be done with this podcast yet. There may be more fun afoot. Well, here we are by the USS Silverstone in
Silversides.
By the it's not named after Alicia Silverstone?
No, it's not Alicia Silverstone.
Oh, it's named after Raymond Burr.
Yeah, well, it's named after his character, Martin Silversides.
Uh-huh.
Who had just one leg.
He did.
But he had a nice silver sport coat that he wore.
And that's why they call him
that's
Silver
why
Spides.
They call it the Silver Spides.
Silver Spides.
Silver Spides.
So after we had a delicious meal at the House of China in Muskegon.
Yeah.
And
they're famous in Muskegon for their yellow gravy.
Yeah,
which is authentic as well as delicious.
And what you can customize that egg foo young.
You can? With brown gravy?
With brown gravy.
Yes, but you have to ask for the brown gravy. Everything comes with yellow gravy, including the coffee. But you have to, if you want brown gravy, it's a special order.
Yes, but the fried rice was $2.82.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a number of fine meals. And if you, there was another thing you could get special there.
There was?
Mm-hmm. The way that they would cook your food for you.
Oh, yes. You could ask specifically to have your meal steamed.
Even as we speak, I'm looking at a pair of spectacular birds, which I will tell you about in a moment. We thought, and we're secretly sort of hoping, that this was just going to be a complete fool's errand, right?
Well, that's what we were expecting based on precedent.
Yeah, that nothing would come of this. But Bill's GPS, Deneen.
It's not Deneen.
Led us.
It is unnamed.
Led us to the Muskegon Channel. And as I pointed out before, they don't have cable or satellite in Muskegon. They only have this one channel. And so,
when did you point that out before?
It may have been just a dream I had. So anyway, we pulled up among the ice floes. And
really, there are ice floes. This is like Uncle Tom's Cabin.
It is. I keep expecting the Perils of Pauline Star to appear on these and to go over a waterfall with Buster Keaton.
Mm.
So I immediately saw a pair of red-breasted mergansers, which is a pretty good thing to see. Bill immediately saw some gulls.
Oh, yeah. They were difficult to spot. They're lined up on the railing that keeps us from driving into the channel. parked right up against the railing, and there's this lineup of seagulls that are
fighting.
They are very happy with each other.
They're
completely ignoring us, really. Well, they don't want us here. That's obvious because no one really does.
We saw a golden eye, and we saw some redheads, and so I got out of the car just because
I couldn't believe it.
No, my foot was falling asleep because otherwise there's nothing that would make me stir from the car on a winter's day, especially after having eaten shrimp vegetable. That was the name of my meal, shrimp vegetable, and I was just kind of wanted to snooze it off. And I still see those spectacular birds, Bill. I got out of the car and started walking around. Maybe I bet I took 3 steps.
You were probably, yeah, I think you were 3 steps from the car.
So I turned and I tried to get Bill's attention 3 steps from the car, but he couldn't see me that far.
Well.
And I couldn't raise my voice, but finally I got to the car and I said, I see the Western Grebe. And there were 2 of them.
Yeah, there were.
And spectacular birds from Michigan. And
where are the Western Grebes usually found?
They're from the Grebish region out west.
Oh.
There's a Grebish Western Grebe region. I'll look it up.
Yeah. Well, you could probably be more specific on that later.
Yeah. Hi, Studio Bob here, interrupting Car Bob, just to give you a little actual information on grebes so that there's at least one fact in this entire show. I'm looking at my Peterson Field Guide to Birds, and it describes grebes as duck-like divers with flat, lobed toes, thin neck, tailless look. And Western grebe has a long, dagger-like beak. It's a looks like kind of a slaty gray bird on top and white underneath, at least the neck, and looks like most of the undersides are white, and distinctive red eye, but we were too far to see that. But very, very beautiful, striking bird, kind of majestic the way they move. And I'm looking at the range map to find out exactly where those grebish portions of the United States are. And it looks like in the winter you would expect to find them on the west coast. This map shows them all the way up from British Columbia, perhaps even into Alaska, and down through the Baja Peninsula in the Pacific. And in the summer they come inland, it looks like, as far as North and South Dakota, but I don't see them anywhere east of the Mississippi. They remind me a little bit of a loon, tiny bit, but anyway, that's the Western grebe, at least as far as appearances go. So anyway, it's been a surprising end of the day for us.
Careful.
And we really didn't expect, how do our expeditions usually end? They usually end in
disappointment,
humiliation,
recrimination,
a lot of bickering as we drive back and forth.
Blame.
Linda's not here to blame. But in this case, remarkably, we actually saw what we wanted. I do wonder, though, if when I get home, I'm going to look in our bird bath and I'm going to see a Western grebe. So we got a good ending to the podcast. And I have to say that I faltered a little bit with the iPod software because I could not identify one of the birds I saw. I finally needed to get out my Sibley's Guide to Birds and thumb through several pages of ducks before I identify. What was that? No, it was the female scaup.
Yeah.
Because it had white in the front. There's those grebes again, showing off, just acting like they belong here.
It didn't help that you were looking up redhead when you thought you were looking up scaup.
No. And if I didn't have that book, I could have just looked up brunette. There's something else flying in.
I have to say that description of you paging through the book was especially interesting.
Thank you. I think maybe that's the end of the podcast then. Thank you for joining us for another wonderful birding expedition podcast. It turned out wonderful for me because 2 new birds for this trip, the tundra swan and, of course, the Western grebe. And
If you think you could be a more interesting guest than Bill, if you think you can entertain people more than this show, and I'm sure you can, email me at bob@petliferadio.com. bob@petliferadio.com, because I think that we're going to put this show on the air.
No.
I think we are. So thanks to Mark Winter, our producer, for tearing his hair out and sitting through this.
Yes, I especially want to thank him. I mean, this was a...
More ducks. This is a hot spot for ducks.
It really is. This
did turn out to be some of my personal reflections on the day. It started out very badly and ended up well.
Well, that's an amazing reflection. They don't get any deeper than that. Thanks for joining us. Bye-bye.
Thinking about buying a monkey? How about a ferret or a skunk? Then check out the show that will answer the burning questions: where do you get them? What do you feed them? How do you take care of them? And most of all, what were you thinking? With exotic pet expert and author Bob Tarte, every week on demand from PetLifeRadio.com.